I want to know what made you get into this type of business. I want to know about you right now. How did you get involved in the music?
What made me get involved with the music is my love for hip-hop music. I started listening to rap music in 1980. And it's called old school now, but back then it was basically party music.
Right.
It was fun, it was upbeat, it was, you know, club-oriented. It was fun, you know, and it was a whole movement. It had energy, it had passion, it had everything that I found attractive in a form of music. And I started listening to Sugar Hill Gang, Grandmaster Flash, Cold Crush. You know, that was my introduction into rap music. So I came to this as a fan. Now, remember, I started listening in 1980. I didn't get into the music industry until 1992. So for 12 years before I started in music, I was a fan.
Right.
I was listening to Public Enemy. I was listening to X-Clan. I was listening to Eric B. and Rakim. And that's really what got me into the industry. I took a class at the New School in New York. It's called the New School. That's actually the name of the school.
Really?
And Burt Padell was the teacher. Burt Padell is like an accountant in the music business. He's like an accountant to the stars. He was Madonna's business manager at the time. Business manager means accountant. It's a fancy way to say accountant.
Right.
Luther Vandross, he worked with Russell Simmons, he worked with Andre Harrell, I'll be sure. Like all the people that were hot in 1992, this man was their accountant. And he was teaching a class called Pop Music Business. And at that point in time, rap music was just becoming pop music. And I remember taking this class and him talking about all these different artists and how shiesty the industry is. And I went to him after class one day, and I said to him, you know, you work with Eric B. and Rakim, and you work with X-Clan, and they're my favorites, and they're getting jerked by their record labels. You know, why isn't anybody helping them? And he said to me, because there's no money in altruism. And it really fucked me up when he said that, because...
Repeat that one more time.
There's no money in altruism. Meaning there's no money in helping people.
Right. I understand.
And I was so, yeah, and there's, you know, that's a capitalistic thought. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're into making money, you're going to help people that can bring money into your pockets. That's, you know, that's life. That's our way. But it really messed me up to hear that, because these are my favorite artists.
Right. So you took that to heart.
Yeah, I'm like, who's going to help them? You know, this is the music that I feel like I grew up on. This is the music that, you know, I listened to when I was happy, when I was sad. I mean, shit, I fucked to rap. I don't fuck to R&B.
Right.
Rap is my life, you know? And I'm thinking, well, who's going to help people when they need help? And it was right then and there that I decided to start Rap Coalition. And I cashed in all my stocks and bonds. I sold my car. I sold my condo. And I said, I'm going to be the person to help people that need help. And it was a little bit naive, because I didn't know what I was saying, and I didn't know what that would entail, and I didn't know what I was doing. I just figured I'd, you know, Forrest Gump my way through it, and I did. And I was actually able to make a difference in a lot of lives.
Yeah, I can tell by your resume. So,
I really got to help Eric B. and Rakim, and X-Clan I didn't really get to help until... you know, much later in my career and theirs, but I made a lot of difference for a lot of people that were in fucked up situations. And it was around, that was 1992 that I started Rap Coalition. It's a 501c3, it's a not-for-profit. So when people come to me for help getting out of their deals, it doesn't cost them anything. And it still doesn't today. Round about 1995 or 96, I realized, okay, I'm pulling people out of bad deals. I'm doing monthly seminars in New York for rappers and producers to teach them what's fair and acceptable, but that's not helping people to make money. It's sort of reactive instead of proactive. So at that point in time when I said, well, gee, maybe because I've seen so many bad deals, maybe I should start helping to get people into good deals. So right about that time, I had pulled a group called the Chameleons off of Zoo Records. And the cousin of one of the guys from the Chameleons was a guy named Tobin Costin, who was running Master P's label at the time called No Limit. And he called me up and he said, you know, my cousin says really great things about you, and I think we need help. And I had no idea who Master P was at that point in time. But this guy said, you know, we've got somebody negotiating a deal for us at, I think it was either Atlantic Records or it was Priority. I can't remember. I think it was Atlantic.
Was it Atlantic? Because I know he had problems at MCA. I mean, I remember MCA was trying to pick him up, and they was having problems about negotiating the deal.
Yeah, probably because they didn't put up enough money. I'm so glad we didn't do that deal at MCA. Well, anyway, so this guy Tobin calls me up and says, Wendy, we don't trust the guy who's negotiating our deal. Can you help us? And I said, absolutely. The guy who was negotiating the deal happened to be EA Ski. I didn't know that at the time, though. I know that now. I didn't know that then.
The rapper EA Ski?
Yes. What? The producer and rapper EA Ski. And his manager, I think his name was John, and forgive me, this is many years ago, and I'm so bad with names. But it was whoever his manager was at the time. I remember he was a Navy SEAL, but I can't really remember his name. He was negotiating the deal. Well, it turned out that they were very trustworthy. They weren't trying to, you know, bust a foul move. So that deal was the first deal that I got to be a part of. You know, I got to play a part in a minimal part, but I got to play a part in the negotiations, and I feel I made a difference in the deal. But that was the first deal. And that's a really great first deal to be a part of, because it was, you know, it was a precedent-setting deal.
That's what started your track record.
Yes.
That's a beautiful thing.
Standing thing. And I went from there to do Twista's joint venture at Atlantic, mm-hmm. which was a 50-50 split, which was another outstanding deal. And I went from that to help Eminem. And then from Eminem's deal, I went to the Cash Money deal. And the Cash Money deal was exciting because the Cash Money deal was my own deal. I didn't really have anybody else involved in that deal that was negotiating with Universal, you know, except my attorney at the time. Mm-hmm. His name is Peter Thea. He's now at Jive Records. You know, Peter played a big part in that deal, but he played a big part in the wording and the structuring of the deal, whereas I played a big part in figuring out what the best deal was for Cash Money and in terms of shopping the deal. You know, I was the one dragging him to all the labels for meetings and stuff. So, you know, I've had a really wonderful career because I've had wonderful opportunities, and I think that's because I'm so close to the streets. I spend so much time on the streets, and I still do, finding out what's hot, who's hot. And, you know, we have so much hype in this industry. It's really hard to sort out what's hype and what's real.
Right. You have to basically be sitting there in someone's face.
You sure do.
Because you can't go out there.
You got to be in the market. You got to be in the market to understand who's just sending around emails saying they're hot, and
right.
who the kids are reacting to on the streets.
And also by retail, and a lot of people giving in to certain things and taking payments to do things that's not real, you have to find out for yourself.
Yeah, and you can tell. It's real easy. Once you get into the marketplace, it's real easy to see who's real and who's not. It's real, real easy, I think.
Well, I mean, who got the better eye than you? I mean, at this point, like I said, your track record basically speaks for itself. I can really say out of my mouth, you are the true savior of hip hop. Because without you, a lot of things wouldn't have been historical, in a sense. You know what I mean? The things you have accomplished helped other people realize that things can be done too, whether you give yourself that much credit or not. But your testimonies is true statements of other people's lives too.
Exactly, and thank you. I mean, that's a huge compliment. You know, I realize the difference that I make, but I certainly don't give myself as much credit as you do, and thank you. That's very kind, and that's probably because I focus on my losses, not my wins.